articles by desiring God.
We still walk by faith. How to see beyond the secular. Written and read by David Mathis. Ecclesiastes 3:11 haunts the human mind that pretends to be secular. God has put eternity into men's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. At first blush, secular answers, that is, those that refuse to acknowledge any religious or spiritual basis for human life in our world, secular answers may attract those aching to suppress the truth that God has made plain in his creation. But the sparkle soon wears off. Secular life does not prove satisfying, emotionally or intellectually. Secular believers may enjoy the initial thrill of feeling free from divine oversight and the wages of their sin, but the wishful thinking of cosmic rebels proves empty sooner or later, as it always has. God made us and made us for himself. The potter has designs. In our sin, we want to spin away from him. Yet in the very clay of our humanity, we were made for him and cannot get around or beyond his purposes, no matter how much sin pressures us to flee. While Christians in this generation may feel a new acuteness in these secular pressures, the Christian faith has always required the look of faith to the unseen. Some forces seem new. The fundamental realities of the Christian life remain unchanged. Long have we been a people with a different kind of vision and mindset and joy than our surrounding society. First, we have a different kind of vision than our unbelieving age. We live by faith. Believers the world over may dispute or variously read a number of passages, but every stripe of church and tribe of Christians confesses with Paul, we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. 2 Corinthians 4:18. From where does such faith come? Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. And oh, how counter-secular are such invisibilities. Against a visibly focused age, our invisible faith, arising in the inner, unseen person, comes from hearing the audible yet invisible word, the good news about Jesus Christ. And that through an unseen helper we call the Holy Spirit. Of course, we live in this world and look at seen things all day. We are bombarded with sights and their accompanying sensations, and now all the more with glittering pixels. But in Christ, we do not look to the things that are seen to get our ultimate bearings about reality. Rather, we look to the unseen. By faith, we see the invisible. Has not this faith in the unseen been the legacy of our heroes? Noah's faith received God's word concerning events yet unseen and moved him to build the ark and save his household. Abraham, by faith, left his home not knowing where he was going, stretching by faith to see what he could not yet see. Moses' faith sent him out from Egypt, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. And Christ himself, both the focus of our faith and our supreme exemplar, endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. That is, not a joy at hand that he could see and reach for, but a yet unseen joy in the distance that would lead him to and through the visible and sensible horrors of crucifixion and all the way to his Father's right hand. Even if obstacles to this kind of sight are especially pronounced in our day of secular assumptions and pixelated visuals, the life of faith has always run against this grain, looking through and beyond what we see with our physical eyes to yet unseen rewards we taste even in the present. Faith is the foretaste of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. From afar, faith draws near to the unseen God, not just believing that he exists, but that he rewards those who seek him. Faith hears and embraces his audible yet invisible word and lives in light of it. Second, then, we have a different kind of mindset than our worlds. Faith in the unseen God frees our minds from the prison of the immanent frame, that small slice of reality that we can see, hear, touch, taste, and feel. Christian faith liberates us from the earthly mindedness into which we are born as natural persons. As the Holy Spirit dwelling in us helps us to see through and behind and beyond the phenomena of our world, He also makes us increasingly spiritually minded. Even in an era of oppressive earthly mindedness that claims so many of its victims, we inhabit the glorious freedom of Colossians 3:2, setting our minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. In Christ, we have reckoned ourselves dead, and our true life is now hidden with Him in God. How could our souls be raised with Christ and we not seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God? We live in this world. Earthly things rightly cross and occupy our minds every day. But in Christ, we learn to set and to reset our minds elsewhere, upward, to the things above, where He is. And from that regular reset, we put to death what is earthly in us, the old self and its practices, and put on the new self in Christ and its fruit. If we coast, the world will have its way with our minds and their frame. We might still read our Bibles and frequent churches and even speak in pulpits. We might still quote verses and expound Christian doctrines. But from what mindset and to what end? Have our world's terms and ends infected and seized our cast of mind? Pretending there is no God or unseen world, our world can't help but fill the void with politics, sports, decadence, and trivia. If our own hearts have been captured by this mindset, our dreams and greatest joys will look very much like the world's, and very little like the different kind of joy that is on offer in Christ. Third and finally, we have a different kind of joy than the world's, a joy that flows from our different vision and mindset. As we see the unseen God, vision, and see our world through His eyes, mindset, our joy rises far beyond the joy rooted merely in this world that we can see. Surely the world has tasted and talks about a kind of happiness, one that is fleeting, unpredictable, impulsive, and superficial. And it's a happiness that dishonors God, diminishes Christ, ignores Scripture, and leads to damnation, not final eternal bliss. But in Christ, ours is a different sort of happiness, one that is lasting and deep and soul-satisfying. It is rooted in God and expands through loving others and doing them good. Our happiness is the kind of joy that sustains us in suffering, as it did for Jesus, and gets us in the end to the great reward that is God Himself in Christ. And stunningly, in this different kind of joy, we do not diverge from the One who made and upholds our world and who will decide our eternity. But in Jesus, our joy is at one with the very purposes of God. The end and goal of all things, says John Piper, is the glory of God reflected in the gladness of His people in God. Isaiah spoke of this different kind of joy 7 centuries before Christ, when he said, "Christ's people will go out in joy and be led forth in peace, and it shall make a name for the Lord." Isaiah 55, 12-13. This month at Desiring God, we turn our focus to the unseen world with a 3-part structure. First, the unseen world within. Second, the unseen world without. And third, the unseen world to come. Our focus will be reclaiming our felt sense of these unseen realities: the human soul, the Holy Spirit, demons and angels, the glorified Christ, and His coming return. Join us in celebrating the life of faith, and seeing the unseen in a world trying to see only what is seeable.
For more resources, visit desiringgod.org.